It's good to be together this evening. I invite you to take your Bibles and open with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We'll be beginning there in just a moment. We've learned a lot in the last 2 weeks, and we continue to learn a lot. And it is amazing to me as we go through this together, just what things that the Lord is teaching us and the things that the Lord is doing for good in the midst of so much difficulty. And one of the things that has stood out to me in the last couple of weeks that has been such an encouragement and such a bright thing has simply been the body of Christ. And simply thinking about the Lord's plan for the body of Christ and how that has been put into motion, and thinking about what the scriptures say about the role of the body, the function of the different parts of the body, and how when it works together, it is an awesome thing because it is what the Lord wants it to be. And so I want us to take some time this evening where kind of our base text will be 1 Corinthians 12 and thinking about the body of Christ. We'll go to some other passages and think about three simple lessons, hopefully to encourage us to continued growth as members of Christ's body. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we'll begin there. And the context, Paul is responding to various things in the letter that the Corinthians have sent to him. And he begins this chapter with one of those responses where he says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts." And he's beginning a section in 1 Corinthians that will take us all the way in chapter 12, chapter 13, and chapter 14, which are going to deal directly with the miraculous spiritual gifts that were given to some of the saints at Corinth. And it appears that they were misusing, and Paul's going to correct some of their attitudes on that. I just want to acknowledge that context. We won't be focusing in on that tonight, but some of the principles found here in 1 Corinthians that we can apply for ourselves. Let's begin reading together in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 4. "Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given, through the Spirit, the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills." So he begins by pointing out that there are many different kinds of gifts that the Lord has given to different parts of his body. But at the same time that he's acknowledging the variety, he acknowledges the common source of every gift. Now, of course, these are miraculous gifts, but the same principle is true for any good gift that God gives to his people. And it is amazing to me that we serve a God of such variety. You think about even things like the snowflakes that sometimes fall, and every one of them is individually different than every other snowflake. Whereas we make things like those ice cube trays, you know, where everything is just all looks the same. I mean, certainly there is variety that people make as well, but the Lord delights in variety and has apportioned his gifts in different ways to different people of different ages, at different times, and in different places in the world. But the thing that is stressed over and over again in this first paragraph is that it is the Lord who is behind each and every gift that is given. It is the same Spirit that is in all and working through each one to bring about the building up of the body of Christ. That is the Lord's goal in all of this. And continuing in the next section, he's going to use the analogy of a body, like a human body. In verse 12, he says, "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where then would the sense? Where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, what would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. So the thing we want to emphasize here about, as we think about the body of Christ, is that we have different gifts. And this is part of God's wisdom in the body of Christ. And he goes over the fact that these roles are inherently different. And sometimes we are tempted to think that just because our role is not like the role of some other, perhaps more visible part of the body, that somehow we're no longer part of the body. One of his goals, it seems, in this is to build up those who think that maybe their gift or their ability is not as strong or as helpful as someone else's gift or ability. And says, no, God has intentionally made us in different ways and given us different strengths and different weaknesses, and we need to grow in the things that the Lord has given us to do. And so he initially tells them, listen, you just because you're not this other part of the body doesn't mean you're not part of the body. And uses, I think, some intentionally humorous pictures of this body. If the whole entire thing was an eyeball rolling around, you know, that would not be very helpful. Or if the entire body was an ear, you know, that's not going to do you a whole lot of good. It'd be really good at hearing, but it wouldn't do everything that the body is supposed to do. And so similarly, we each need to do what the Lord has given us so that the body in its entirety can be built up. And then he's going to say about how kind of we treat one another, beginning in verse 21, the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the hand to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. And then we'll wrap up, bringing it back to the spiritual gifts. But it's a beautiful picture that the Lord paints of this body where every member is taking care of the other members of the body. There are those that have less honor, on them it's bestowed greater modesty. Every member is given that which it needs to serve appropriately in the body. And it's so important in verses 25 and 26, and one of the things that we've certainly seen these weeks, is that we care for one another. That we rejoice with those who rejoice, that we weep with those who weep, and that when one member suffers, all the members suffer together. I'm sure on a lesser level, many of us have experienced this physically. If you ever get one of those like mouth sores, and it just feels like your whole body just can't function normally because this one part is hurting you. You know, you stub your little toe on a door frame, and you're just jumping up and down, and your whole body is trying to wrap themselves around that little member, just thinking, oh, we want to take care of this part of the body that is hurting so much. And when we have the care and the concern that has certainly been seen here, that is what the Lord has designed the body to do, is to care for all of its members. And certainly, there are many who have been hurting and many who still are hurting in various ways. And this is what the Lord wants us to do, to be here for one another, to have that same care one for another, and to constantly be thinking about those parts of the body that are hurting and that are going through difficulty so that we can all do whatever we can do to build up those parts, and together to continue to serve the Lord and accomplish His purposes. I want us to think for just a moment about a specific example from the Old Testament. If I was to ask you, you remember Aholiab and Bezalel? Everybody is like, yeah, love those guys, right? Do you remember Aholiab and Bezalel? You may not recognize those names, but I think they're an encouraging example for us as we think about this principle. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 31. Exodus 31. And this is where the Lord is giving instructions for the building of the tabernacle. And these guys get their own little paragraph in the instructions about the building of the tabernacle. And this is an encouraging thing. Exodus 31, beginning in verse 1. The Lord said to Moses, "See, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with ability and intelligence, with knowledge and all craftsmanship, to devise artistic designs, to work in gold, silver, and bronze, in cutting stones for setting, and in carving wood, to work in every craft. And behold, I have appointed with him Aholiab, the son of Ahizamak, of the tribe of Dan. And I have given to all able men ability, that they may make all that I have commanded you, the tent of meeting, the ark of the testimony, and the mercy seat that is on it, and all the furnishings of the tent," and goes on to talk about all the different things, from metal things to cloth, fabric things, and all the things that the Lord had asked for in the building of the tabernacle, and all the holy implements that would be used for service in the tabernacle. And the Lord asked for these things, and then proceeded to give these gifts of craftsmanship, of intelligence and knowledge and skill to particularly these two men, Aholiab and Bezalel, and to allow them to use these things to serve the Lord. And a lot of times you would think, well, wow, you know, I'm really good at metalworking. What am I supposed to do with that? Well, the Lord had provided a way particularly for these men to serve Him and to serve His people by providing for a need. And whatever skill and whatever talent we have, those things can be put to use in some way to serve God and to serve His people. And I want to encourage us to think about those things tonight on a specific level. One of the things I wanted us to think about is just some of the specific ways that we have seen so much love and so much service outpoured in the last couple of weeks, particularly for the Smelser family, but certainly for others as well. And to think about maybe some of these things that you have ability in and have used that or can use that in the future, and think about just how when the body works together with all these different talents and abilities, how much it helps and how much it glorifies the Lord. We've seen people share their personal experiences, perhaps going through something similar and being a comfort in that way. We've seen people who've been given the gift of cooking, something I'm not necessarily gifted with, but something that I'm very grateful that many here have given in that way. We've seen people who have financial help and have been willing to give of their money, even if they're far away, to help with different expenses. And some of them even giving money for specific purposes and thinking about how they want that to be used. We've seen people who have shared experiences, shared pictures, shared things from their life and their memories that have been helpful in all of these things. There have been many who have simply listened and have given an ear that has been such a blessing. And there have been so many, and perhaps in the most powerful way, who have prayed and have gone to the one who is able to do far more abundantly all than that we ask or think. And specifically, people have offered specific prayers and have thought through potential situations and have been praying for specific things. And it has been such a blessing to hear of those things. There have been those who have empathized and who have wept with those who have wept and felt those things alongside. There have been those who have been able to lead. There have been those who have organized and gone through logistics of things that required the coordination of a lot of people and sometimes using a lot of different mediums to do that. There have been those who have simply perceived needs Sometimes we don't know exactly what to do, and some of us are better at that than others. And just thinking about, this is perhaps what would need to be done, and they go and do that. There have been many who have opened their homes and have offered hospitality to those coming in out of town or to whatever the need has been, and using our possessions to give to others. There have been many who have used the blessing of writing, whether that's been in handwritten notes, whether it's been in text messages or online messages, and just an outpouring of help in the form of words and communication to one another. There have been those who have given physical signs of hugs and affection and other ways of showing that they care, even if words are not perhaps their skill. There have been those who have run errands and gone and provided for just basic needs so that those are not needed to be taken care of by those worrying about other things. There have been those who have used technology, which has been such a wonderful blessing in the midst of all of this, and used their expertise in that. And it's just been amazing to see the variety of gifts that the Lord has given to his people that have been used in such a productive and selfless way. And may it be this way all of the time with us. It's certainly most clear when there's something like this in a tragedy, and such a clear and immediate and simultaneous way that all of these gifts come together. But these are the kind of things that the Lord wants us to be using day to day, week to week, month to month, year to year, here and wherever we may be, to serve his kingdom in all of the capacities that he has given. One more thought on this point. If you will turn to Mark 6, verses 37 and 38. As we think about this personally and ask the question, what has God given you with which you can serve others? Let's each ask ourselves that question tonight. What has God given me that I can use to serve other people? Many times, it's really tempting for us to think about what we don't have. And, oh, I can't do this, I can't do that, I can't do the other thing. But it's an interesting, there's a situation here. We're familiar with Jesus feeding the 5,000. And the way that Jesus sets this situation up is he first asks the disciples to provide the bread for all these people to eat. And so in Mark chapter 6, beginning in verse 37, Jesus speaking, but he answered them, "You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat?" And he said to them, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." And when they had found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. An interesting way that Jesus sets up this miracle is he first poses to them, listen, do you realize, like, you find them something to eat. And as soon as they have to think about, we are completely inadequate for this task that is in front of us. There's too much to do. We don't have the resources. We don't have the ability. And they're just thinking about, we don't have 200 denarii. We don't have that much money to go buy this stuff for them to eat. But Jesus asked them, you go and look at what you do have. Go and count up what you have right now. And you know what? We'll use that. And then he takes those 5 loaves and he takes those 2 fish. That was not nearly enough to do what the Lord was going to do. And he takes what they have and uses it to feed the 5,000 and to do a task they never could have done themselves. And so it is with us. Many times we see the task that's before us and we're just overwhelmed. We just don't know how this is going to happen. And instead of asking the question, what don't I have? Let's think about that question. What do you have? And how can we give that to the Lord so that in the Lord's hands, those meager abilities and opportunities that we have can become multiplied and be used to affect so many more than we can ever do by ourselves. Let's think for just a moment. The Lord has given so many gifts to so many. And just how does the Lord want us to be using these gifts? We need to use our gifts to serve. If you will look over with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul is beginning his second letter that we have recorded and preserved for us to the Corinthians. And he's going to go back and talk about some very difficult things that he and those that were traveling with him had gone through. By the end of this letter, Paul will have exhausted all of the difficulties that he's been through. And just what a comfort the Lord has been to him and to those who are with him in all of these things. And he starts the letter off by saying, listen, the Lord has comforted us, but it's not just so that we can just be comforted. Read with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 3. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort. So in the context of persecution for the sake of Christ, Paul says, listen, we have gone through this very difficult situation. He'll talk about it more in the following paragraph, just to say, God has done so much for us. But he's done that not just so that we can be able to get through it ourselves, but so that now Paul is able to write to those who are in persecution. Paul is able to reach out to those who are in difficult situations and say, I know what you're going through, and the Lord comforted me so that I can now comfort you. And so it is with the different blessings that the Lord gives us, whether that's comfort in the midst of our suffering, whether that is some ability that we have. We need to be making sure to think about the gifts that God gives, not just in terms of what can I use this gift for, to enjoy it myself, or perhaps to benefit my life and the situations that I'm in, but everything that God gives us, he gives us to be shared. And we've certainly seen that in the recent weeks, that all of the abilities, the possessions that we have, the time and effort and energy that we have, it's not for us. It is for the Lord, and it's for the Lord's people. And it's so encouraging when we see people just giving of what they have and not thinking of, you know, even when they themselves perhaps are in suffering, that they are giving to others and reaching out to others. It's certainly been an encouragement to me, even to be around the Smalsters themselves these past couple of weeks. And I've received a lot of comfort from them. And certainly many of us can say the same. But it's been true all the way around, has it not? That certainly we're comforting others and they're comforting us. And when we are all thinking about the other person, what needs to get done gets done. It's when we become self-centered and when we become focused on what I need and focused on that need that none of it gets done. And we just kind of become these little black holes that we're trying to take and take. But when we start to give to others, it is many times in that giving that we receive the help and the comfort and the strength that we need the most in those moments. And this is the way the Lord would have it to be. John Jowett, a long time ago, said, God does not comfort us to make us comfortable, but to make us comforters. One final thought from Romans chapter 12, verses 3 through 8, and one final thought on this point. And I just love the way that this verse puts it, and some of the things that this verse points out that are gifts from the Lord that need to be employed in the best way possible. Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 3, Paul writes, for by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, and the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. Whatever gift it is that the Lord has given to you to do, do that the best that you can possibly do. Take that gift, however small or however invisible it might seem to other people, and be the best you that you can be in the Lord. Again, not to think more of ourselves. It's easy for us to shift that around. He begins this section saying, listen, don't think more highly of yourselves than you ought to think. But if you have an ability, use it and do it to the best of the ability that God has given you, and do it for other people. Because that is when the Lord is the one who is able to work through us, to strengthen every member in whatever the need may be. And finally,
this evening, we need to use our gifts for God's glory.
Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 4. It is a curious thing that the Lord has done in himself. The Lord himself is invisible. He is intangible. He's inaudible to the physical ear. But the Lord has, so to speak, put these parts of himself, so to speak, these parts of his love and his care and his ability in so many of his servants for us to use and for people to see the Lord in all of these things. 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning in verse 7, it says, "The end of all things is at hand. Therefore be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks, as one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves, as one who serves by the strength that God supplies. In order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." When we see the different abilities that the Lord has given, and we have the opportunity to use the abilities the Lord has given us, it's so important for us to acknowledge that all of these things are from God. The one who speaks is to speak the message that God gave him to speak, and to speak with the ability that God has given. And the one that he says that serves is serving by the strength that God supplies. Every resource, every moment, every opportunity, our physical bodies themselves, our minds, our thoughts, are all things that have been provided by God. It all goes back to him, and he is the one who receives the glory when we use the things that he's given, not to focus on ourselves, but to focus on the one who gave each of these good things. Jesus said, "You let your light shine before men in such a way that they see your good works, but they glorify your Father who's in heaven." And there's different ways that we can let our light shine. And sometimes there's temptation with things like this to start looking for ourselves. Whenever there's opportunity to serve, Satan is always looking for an opportunity to get us prideful, to get us off track. And we need to guard against those things. But we need to focus on finding those ways where we can do these things, and people will look at what we're doing and say, "Wow, what a God." I want to read a couple of passages, and I won't tell you where I'm reading from at first. And I want to see if you recognize these quotations, just to make this point. And these are statements of praise to God. And I want you to think about who may be speaking as I read these things. For the Lord your God, he is God in the heavens above and on the earth beneath. And then another passage as you're pondering that one. Truly, your God is God of gods and Lord of kings and a revealer of mysteries. And again, how great are his signs, how mighty his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion endures from generation to generation. I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him who lives forever. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are counted as nothing, and he does according to his will among the hosts of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say to him, "What have you done?" I praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, for all his works are right and his ways are just, and those who walk in pride he is able to humble. Do you recognize any of those words, where they came from? The very first quotation was from a prostitute who lived in the city of Jericho, who had heard about the wonderful things that the Lord had done with the children of Israel and coming out from the land of Canaan, the plagues that he had worked in Egypt. And this woman, even living a lifestyle that many would condemn, even in the world, was moved to praise and believe in the God of heaven, and then to serve him by serving the spies that came in to provide for them. And she and her household were spared as a result of that. And the second set of quotations, some of my favorite passages in the book of Daniel, come from the king of the nation of Babylon, a pagan and wicked nation that the Lord used to destroy the kingdom of Judah. And then through the actions of Daniel and Hananiah and Mishael and Azariah, this king, who is praising other gods and praising himself, certainly a good bit in that book, was moved to praise and lift honor to the King of heaven because of what he saw and what he heard in the people of God, and certainly the things he also experienced in his own life. But it is amazing to me to think about what the Lord is doing, both with the children of Israel when they are coming out of the land of Egypt, with the children of Israel when they're in that foreign nation, is that the Lord is doing these things through very capable people. You think about all the things that the Lord blessed Daniel and his friends with, the intelligence and learning. And it was all to glorify God's name in the earth. The Lord was making a reputation for himself in bringing out this weak and feeble nation of slaves and then making them into a people who would go in and conquer the giants. In taking these few people who had been ripped from their homes, learned a new language, and were seemingly, you know, few and sparse, and to lead them up into positions of power in the most powerful nation on earth so that other people could hear about the name of Jehovah, the God of Israel, who, even though their nation had been destroyed for a time, he was ruling in the kingdoms of men and gave it to whomever he will, and still rules in the kingdoms of men and gives it to whomever he will. And that the Lord is making a name for himself in the midst of all the tragedy, in the midst of all the difficulty, in the midst of whatever it is. It's all about giving God the glory, for he is the one who gives every good and perfect gift. It's been amazing to me to hear from people that I may have never met in other states, and even me hearing from people, much not to say what the Smeltzer family has heard, to see people even in the community, people at the high school where I help out, that I never knew or connected in any way, to have these Facebook posts and to see all of these different people. And I'm sure we could multiply stories if we were to have people come up and just say all of these things, the people and the lives that have been touched through all the things that have happened. And the common denominator is so many people are looking at what has happened and saying, what a God these people serve. And the Lord is using all of these things to glorify his name. And the Lord is using all of these things for people to look and say, these people have a strength and have a hope that I want to have. and that perhaps I haven't been paying attention to, and it's a wake-up call for a lot of people. And it is a way that the Lord is using in so many good ways to bring people back in and to bring people closer together that may have drifted apart. And the Lord, through all of it, is making a name for Himself that He might be glorified in the earth, and that He can use even horrible things like this to accomplish good purposes in the scope of eternity. Our God is truly an awesome God. And so we think about tonight, the body of Christ. When we function as a body in the way that the Lord has designed, we are built up, needs are met, and ultimately the Lord is glorified. I hope we've been encouraged tonight to think about our role in the body of Christ. And there may be some here tonight who are not a part of the Lord's body. And you certainly need to think about that. If you are not part of what the Lord desires, not just so that you can be part of the service here, but so that you can be part of the Lord and to be one with Him. The body of Christ is powerful because it has Christ as its head, and that it is obeying what the Christ, the head, is telling it to do. And if you have not submitted to Christ as your head tonight, you have that opportunity to become part of the body of Christ and to submit to Him as your Lord and ultimately as your Savior, and to then let the Lord work through you these things that are pleasing in His sight. If there's any way that we can help you serve Jesus as your head and to join His body this evening, won't you come while we stand and sing this song?